There are 150 psalms in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, and all of those psalms are in our prayer book. You probably know that. Almost every service that we gather for in the Episcopal Church includes a psalm. And the psalms express every emotion known to humankind. Sometimes in the psalm, the writer pleads to God for salvation. Sometimes the writer pleads to God to smite his enemies. Or the writer claims God's blessing on his own righteous indignation, how he is right and everybody else is wrong. I'm sure that that never occurs to you. You never need a psalm for that. Sometimes the writer assures with deep pastoral love the listeners that God will be there for them, that God's blessing will be there, even if it doesn't feel like that right now. There are some truly beautiful psalms, and there are some starkly violent ones. We find psalms of protection, psalms from prophets and psalms from kings. If you are seeking a way to pray to God on any given time of your life, no matter what's on your mind, no matter what sorrow you might have, no matter what anger you might be struggling with, no matter whether you have been betrayed or are afraid, there is a psalm for you. And in the psalms also, there are shouts of joy to God and love of God sprinkled all throughout them. If you wanted to know what Jesus felt like when he was on the cross, all you have to do is turn to the 22nd Psalm, which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress? We just did that psalm not too long ago, right? On Good Maundy Thursday and on Good Friday, the Bible tells us those are the words Jesus cried from the cross. So all of these psalms, all of them, and yet we come back to one of them over and over and over again. Even when people have been away from a church community up to a lifetime, when they return to the church, usually to plan a funeral, they return to this psalm. It's the one that we memorize. It's the one that we teach to our children. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. It's such a simple psalm. It's complete in its adoration of God as shepherd, who will never let us fall off God's path, who will lead us and walk alongside of us, who will feed us. God will comfort us, protect us. There's no anger in this psalm like there are in so many others. The only thing that we see there is love and trust and peace. The images of the green pasture and the still waters counter the image of the valley of the shadow of death. And the promise that God the shepherd is with us in all of those places means that God is with us. Well, God is with us before our beginning, and God is with us after our end, and God is with us in every place in between. Images of sheep and shepherds appear hundreds of times in the Bible, in the Hebrew, and in the New Testaments, including today's Gospel from John that we have. They're all over, but until I walked with many other folks from Calvary last summer on a pilgrimage along St. Cuthbert's Way through the southern border of Scotland and the northeastern border of England, I really hadn't given much thought to why sheep and shepherds appear throughout the Bible. Much of the trail that we followed last summer followed along sheep trails, those little narrow paths up and down the mountains. We walked through many, many fields full of sheep. It was lambing season, so we had mothers and babies. And from far away, those beautiful green hills and pastures look green, emerald green. From far away, the sheep look pure and lovely and sweet. and the streams that wind along the base of the mountains look cool and still. Well, I don't mean to burst your sheep bubble, but up close, the fields have lots of brown too. The sheep are messy. Their wool is tangled and it's dirty. In fact, it's filthy. And there's evidence of their presence, well, everywhere when you're hiking. So it occurred to me that sheep are all scattered throughout the Bible because the prophets and Jesus never look very far for ordinary examples of everyday life, for their teachings and parables. Everybody who listened to Jesus or to the prophets would have immediately understood what was going on when Psalm 23 was sung, or when Jesus told a parable about the lost sheep, or described himself as the shepherd who calls to his sheep. All of those images were right there in front of people, all around them. They got it. But then, the more we got to know sheep last summer, the more it occurred to me that being called a sheep is not a compliment. It is God acknowledging our messy, dirty, comical human behavior and loving us anyway. The Calvary pilgrims learned many things about sheep. Now, I had somebody who was a shepherd in an earlier life argue with me this morning about this, which is fine. Let's talk about what happens in the parables and in the Gospels and sermon. We can push back. But this is what we learned about sheep last summer. We learned that sheep have no sense of direction. They wander around aimlessly. Shepherds these days don't walk around with a crook. They ride four-wheelers. But even on the four-wheelers, their beautiful border collies jump off and on the four-wheelers and herd those sheep, nipping and circling and pushing the baaing flock to where they want them to go. We learn that sheep are defenseless. They're not strong. They never fight back when confronted. They either freeze right where they are or they run away as fast as they can. We discovered that sheep need lots of water. But sheep don't travel on their own to find water. They would die of lack of water if it weren't for a shepherd or the shepherd's dog to push them in that direction. We need a shepherd to guide us to still water. We also learned that if a sheep falls down, they cannot get up by themselves. There they are, on their back, legs up in the air, until a shepherd comes and rights them and picks them back up again. They'll die there if somebody doesn't pick them up. We learned that sheep are the prized possession of their shepherds. Even in the messiness and tangled and dirty wool, each sheep is marked as belonging to a certain shepherd. And finally, we learned that despite our many attempts to call the sheep to us, especially those cute little lambs, and to pet them as if we were in some kind of gigantic petting zoo, we found that the sheep remain aloof. They're suspicious. They always move just far enough away from our hands that we couldn't reach them without going across the field, and it never would have worked. They had no interest in us, in our petting, because they didn't know our voices. We were not the shepherd. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd and follow them. Being called the sheep of God perhaps is not meant as a compliment, but it is grace. It is pure gift. It is pure gift that sheep and humans are so alike. That has to have been out of an idea of God's great sense of humor and his deep and nurturing love for all of us. God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is with us, calling each one of us by our name. The Lord is our shepherd. From before our beginning until after our end and for every moment in between. Amen.